last year in September 2023. Coco Gauff won the US Open Tennis Championship in the women's singles category. Coco clutched a $3 million prize check in one of her hands and she glanced sideways towards one person in the audience. That was Billie Jean King. Coco nodded at her and mouthed these words. Thank you, Billie, not for you. No woman tennis player would be holding a check for such a big sum of money. What did Billie Jean King do that changed the destiny of women's tennis? That's the story we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hi, you're listening to What's New Today, a kids and family podcast about current events shaping our world. This is your host, Sangeeta. I'm from India, and I'm here to tell you about one event that took place more than 54 years ago and changed the world of tennis forever. This is the story of Billie Jean King and eight of her friends, and it's a story better than any fairy tale. Let's start the story at the very beginning. Many hundreds of years ago, kings and nobles played a game called tennis. This was one of their many ways of passing time. So in fact, tennis was not played with a racket in those days. It was played inside a room and it was played with a hand. So it used to be called Jeu de Paume, which means the game of the palm. Around 150 or 200 years ago, somebody invented the lawn mower. It is a machine that can mow the lawns and keep them in excellent condition. With this, large open spaces were converted into tennis courts. Professional clubs were established, and the most prominent of these lawns were the seats of the most famous tennis tournaments. The lawns of Wimbledon in England became the seat of the Wimbledon Championship. The huge lawns at Roland Garros in Paris became the seat of the French Open Championship. There were these huge, beautiful tennis courts that were established in a place called Flushing Meadows in New York. And that became the seat of the US Open Championship. And a very beautiful park in Melbourne, which is also called the Melbourne Park, became the seat of the Australian Open Championship. So these four tennis courts hosted the first four major tennis tournaments, which are also called the Grand Slam. Now, about 100 years ago, tennis, which had till then remained a preserve of the upper class, gradually started becoming popular across economic classes. It wasn't just the royalty that was playing tennis. Many more people started becoming interested in playing tennis. With that, we come to the end of the first part of this story. What tennis was like up until the year 1968. Now in 1968, something very interesting happened. Up until then, it was only amateurs who used to play the game of tennis. By amateurs, what we mean is, these were people who loved the game of tennis and they would go and play. However, they weren't earning any money by playing tennis. They would have to have some other mode of earning their living. They would have to run a business of their own, or they might be employed somewhere. However, in 1968, the game of tennis entered what's called an open era, which means people could start playing the game professionally, just like a doctor would pursue medicine as a profession, so he would earn money from it, or a lawyer, she could argue her cases in court and earn money from it. Similarly, men and women tennis players could start earning money by playing tennis. The big four Grand Slams, the Wimbledon Championships, the US Open and French Open and Australian Open and several other tournaments announced that they were going to offer prize money, large sums of money that people could earn if they won the tournament. Everybody was thrilled, men and women tennis players were excited because now they could focus on their game, really work on their fitness and did not have to worry about pursuing something else to earn their living. And then something very curious happened. The men's singles title winner in the Wimbledon Championships was paid £2,000 But the woman singles title winner was paid £750. In almost every tournament, women players earned significantly lesser than that of the men. And making matters worse, there were far fewer tennis tournaments available for women to even play every year, which means the men had plenty of opportunities to earn a lot more money, and women simply had to make do with a far smaller sum. Clearly, most women tennis players were downright unhappy, but very few felt that there was anything that they could do about it. There was an exception, a group of 9 women tennis players. And we now move into the third and the last part of today's story, which starts in the year 1970. This group decided that they would strike out on their own. Enough was enough. They approached a lady called Gladys Heldman. She was the editor of a very famous tennis magazine, and she was a great champion of female tennis players. She also sported excellent business sense. So she suggested that these 9 women tennis players should set up their own tournament and that she would help them raise sponsorship money from businesses. There's a very, very interesting photograph that I'm going to leave a link to in the show notes below. It's a photograph of the 9 women tennis players who formed their own tournament, which was called the Virginia Slim Circuit. And they're all holding a $1 bill in their hand. This was because when they set up their own tournament, they signed a contract to earn $1 in this circuit, because at that point in time, they actually had no guarantee that they would be able to raise any more ticket money or that they would earn any sponsorship. But they said, we'll begin with $1, but whatever we earn will be entirely ours. So we will not be undervalued or devalued compared to the men.
Wow!
However, there was a lot of hard work ahead of them. Unlike the men, they could not rely on tournament organizers like Wimbledon or US Open to do all the publicity. The men could focus just on their game and earn a lot of money. Whereas these 9 women, they had to train hard and win, as well as go out and promote their tournament so the audience would come, watch them play, and companies would sponsor them. While all of this was happening, the big tennis tournaments in the United States, Europe, and Australia, they reacted the same way big bullies do. They threatened these 9 players that they would expel them, they would never allow them to play in any of the big leagues and the Grand Slams. Billie Jean King, she was one of the 9 protesting players. She was a world-class player and she had won the Wimbledon championships the previous year. Another one of the 9 was Julie Heldman. She had won the Italian Open championships. So these 9 women players, they were world-class players who stood to lose a lot if they were banned from all of these tournaments. I was listening to an interview by Billie Jean King very recently. She said, you know, at that point in time when all these tournaments threatened that they were going to expel all 9 of us, we decided that we would give up our entire careers if it meant that future generations would have a much better world to live in. Yeah! Well, anyway, good things happened after that. The Virginia Slim Circuit became a huge hit. Spectators flocked to watch these world-class players battle it out. And the big tournaments like the US Open watched them with a nervous eye, but they did not expel them. I think they were a little too scared, just as big bullies often are. The final momentous event that took place, which really helped this movement gain steam, was when a man called Bobby Riggs met a bunch of media people and uttered these words. This was in the year 1973. Bobby Riggs was a very highly ranked tennis player. And he declared, you know what? Women belong to just our homes and in our kitchens. They shouldn't really bother playing in sports tournaments. At best, they play only 25% as well as any man. So they shouldn't really expect to earn any more than 25%. of what the men do. And he openly threw a challenge to Billy Jean King and said, if you're up for it, come play a match against me. And if you win, you get $100,000. Billy Jean King accepted the challenge, and this match was billed the Battle of the Sexes. More than 30,000 spectators bought tickets to watch this match. It was set to be streamed live on television. It was watched by more than 50 million people. It was making it the most viewed match in sports history at that point in time.
Wow!
The match took place. Billy Jean King defeated Bobby Riggs. They played three sets and she beat him in every single one of the sets. The score was 6-4, 6-3, 6-3. There was a thunderous uproar in the stands for a very, very long time. The audience cheered for Billy Jean King for a really, really long time. That win was one of the greatest events in women's tennis history. There's a very beautiful photograph of Billie Jean King holding up the trophy after she won the Battle of the Sexes. And she is cheered by both men and women. Even after all this had happened, in the big tennis tournaments, the women were still underpaid. Billie Jean King was beginning to get annoyed. In 1973, right after she'd won that Battle of the Sexes match, she declared that she was going to boycott the US Open that year. She said, unless the men and women are paid the same prize money, I see absolutely no point in playing these tournaments. The organizers of the US Open, well, they buckled under pressure or came around to their senses, whichever way you want to look at it, you could look at it. They equalized prize money for both men and women at $25,000 in 1973. Yeah! The nine women tennis players who decided to take a huge risk with their careers, they were the ones who spearheaded this change. These nine are called the original nine. It still took another 30 years before the next big tournament, which was the Australian Open, equalized pay in 2001. By then, these nine women had retired. Younger women tennis players like Venus Williams, they continued to demand equal pay. And thanks to them, Australian Open equalized pay in 2001. Wimbledon and French Open followed suit in 2007. Tennis is the only major sport in the world today where women and men get equal prize money. And for that, we have these original nine to thank. There's a very beautiful photograph of these original nine who got together very recently. They celebrated the moment when Coco Gauff won a $3 million prize money, which is the exact same amount that the men's singles category winner also gets today. This story is to celebrate Equal Pay Day, which is celebrated on the 6th of March every year. I personally am not a fan of this day at all because in the ideal world, there should be no such thing as an Equal Pay Day for us to celebrate. It should become the reality. It should just become second nature to mankind where men and women are paid the exact same amount. But till such day, I'll have to share such inspiring stories, not just to inspire the girls and women who are listening to this. It is to inspire the boys and the men also to be fair and just in the world that you inhabit. I hope you liked today's story. If you did, please do leave a comment in the show notes below. New stories on What's New Today come out every Monday and Friday. Thanks for listening.